And God loves to honor faithfulness. Of course, he honored his own son. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord Jesus came into the world to do the will of his Father, and all of his days he served his Father with all of his heart. Now you'll notice in this story that faithfulness is not based on largeness. It's not based on how many talents you put to work, but it's what you do with the talents that God gives to you. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher here again, and we're looking at the marks of a Christian. What are those things that we would look for if someone says, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm going to heaven? What would we expect to see in that person's life? That's our subject today. And our final story is, I will not deny him. And then we come to our message here, our little question answer on Romans 5. This key verse, justification by faith. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday we looked at the therefore, that's the source of justification, the by faith, the science of justification, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the secret of justification. Today I want to take a look at the steps of justification, that we will have peace with God. And there are three steps that are here. Firstly, we need to be justified. Then we have peace with God, by whom also we have access into this faith, wherein into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What does it mean to hope and rejoice in hope of the glory of God? Well, this is the expectation of all believers, that we will live with God and enter into his heavenly presence to enjoy the glory of the Lord for all eternity. The word rejoice means to boast or sound forth this truth, because we have a personal, strong assurance of the blessing of justification. It liberates us from all guilt and builds total confidence in the final outcome of our salvation. Life with God, that's the outcome. Such is the peace we have with God, that we are filled with the assurance that one day we shall be found living in God's presence. Whether we're rich or poor in this world, whether we are healthy or unhealthy, sickly, whether we are abounding in material things, or whether we are but a pauper and a beggar, the outcome for the born-again Christian, the one who's justified by faith, is we will live with God. Think of Luke chapter 19, where the Lord told the story of the rich man who fared sumptuously every day. When he died, well, he was immediately in torments. But whereas the beggar that sat at the man's gate, the rich man's gate, and he had nothing but poverty and sickness, the dogs licked his sores, when he died, he opened his eyes in God's presence, in Abram's bosom, it says, and he enjoyed eternal life with God. That's what counts. It's not what you have in this world. It's what we have in the bank of heaven, and the assurance we have that we are possessors of eternal life. And that's what I want for you, and that's why I preach this word every day on radio, that you might be saved. And I trust that you'll listen carefully today to every aspect of this message, that you will be found in heaven. May the Lord bless you through his word.
Make the darkness bright.
Firstly, the faithful man, woman, is loyal to obey God's word, to obey God's word. This has to be the very first mark of a faithful Christian. They can be trusted and left to it. Now, notice in verse 19 that this master is away a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. There's nobody cracking the whip. There's nobody standing over them, micromanaging their every act and deed. They are left to it. They are expected to be loyal servants, staying at the task, doing all that they can to promote the increase of those talents. And loyalty is the key. Indeed, loyalty is the key in every act of service, in the church and out of it. The disloyal servant, the treacherous servant, the rascal that once you turn your back, he's doing his own thing and not his master's will, you can't leave him to the task. What estate owner would allow such a servant to continue in his task? No wonder we read that in verse 30, cast out, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. And that makes me to realize that the person who will do nothing with the gospel, who makes no use of the gospel, is not really a Christian. It makes us to realize that the mark of being really converted is that you become faithful, a good steward of the gospel. Now, the faithful man will come to the second mark now. He will make good use of his time. Let's dwell on that for a moment. The master went away for a long time. But as in all major works, it takes time to produce fruit and increase. They had to make use of that time. How are we tonight as Christians making use of our time? I think this begs the question. Do we use and give as much time to God as we do to watch television? We have time for many earthly things and activities. It seems to be the order publicly, I qualify that way publicly, that for many it's at most 2-3 hours on a Sunday morning, and that's it. Don't ask much more. Could we call such good stewards? I'm preaching to the converted here tonight. You've obviously given this day to God by coming back to God's house, and I would say the Lord will commend you for that. You are making use of the Lord's day that He has given. This day is a gift. There are nations of the world where the Lord's day, what we call the Lord's day, the first day of the week, is a day of labor and burden and pressure. And here we have a gift from God. We're to make use of that. What about volunteer time? If we asked you about volunteering your time to the extension of God's kingdom, would you be willing? Would you rejoice if you could do it? There was an opportunity that you could enter in and engage in some work for God. Or would you shy away from it and said, well, it's just not going to work in my agenda. My calendar's too full. I think the answer to that would tell you a whole lot about stewards. Good stewards have to be willing to give the time, the commitment, and the effort to it. And I think that every church should be populated with good stewards. That's what every church should be. It should be a band of people who, everyone, are good stewards with God's grace, good stewards with the gospel, good stewards with the privileges that we have as Christians. I note in Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 1, when the apostle writes to the Christians at Ephesus, he writes to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so in Paul's mind, he's writing to a congregation made up of people who are known to be faithful. Can there be any other kind of Christian? Can you call yourself a Christian if you're not faithful? If you're careless and have no interest in promoting the gospel? Can you call yourself a Christian at all? But here is this mark that the apostle notes. The third mark, the faithful man will labor for the honor of his master, not for his own glory, not for his own convenience, but for his own glory, but for his master's glory. And I think that's what you see here with the man who had 5 talents and 2 talents. They served their master. They increased the talents that were given from him. And that should be the mark of the church. We don't want to be the Laodicean church that would become rich and self-complacent, and the Lord said that he could spew them out of his mouth because they were neither hot nor cold. They weren't really living for the Lord zealously. There are many that throw the towel in because they don't get recognition in the church. And you know that in church life, this is always a balancing act. We need to be careful that we don't offend people that want recognition. And I think that such have lost sight of the real purpose of the task. And we might be working in a very obscure way, unnoticed, unappreciated by men, but our labor is not to be given the praise of men, but it is for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Mark number 4, the faithful man will labor to his own hurt. I touched on this morning about the person who will swear to his own hurt. When he enters into a deal and it goes sour on him, he'll keep his word. He will honor his commitment. And when it comes to serving God, there's always going to be sacrifice. It's going to require that we take the road of commitment and sacrifice, and that we step out for God. We wouldn't want to be like that captain of the Costa Concordia. Whenever the ship began to sink, he ended up, well, he says that he fell overboard into a little craft, and somehow he got to shore while the ship was still sinking and others were perishing on the ship that he was captain of. No one thought too highly of him. And then the captain of that vessel in South Korea, he was arrested afterwards. He somehow escaped with his life, but no commitment to the ship and to the task. Here is the Christian's mandate. Loyalty. It's a very important quality, loyalty. We read of Daniel. He was loyal to God when he was threatened. He still went and prayed 3 times a day, opening his window toward Jerusalem. When he was threatened with the lion's den, he would not betray his God, and God did not betray him. He was faithful unto him. And to be a faithful man or woman, like God, then you have to train yourself, give yourself to loyalty. Loyalty to the truth, loyalty to the gospel, loyalty to the Savior, loyal to the cause of Christ, reliable in practice. You can be relied on. Given a task, you'll be there to do it. Punctual. When the time for duty calls, you're there. Willing and ready to assist. Willing, glad to do it. Going the second mile. Be a worker. Carry the load. These are all aspects of being faithful, being a pillar in the church. And they are certainly qualities that we would look for in an elder or a deacon or any that would serve the Lord in his church, that they might show that mark of faithfulness. But it applies to every Christian, as we learned there in Ephesians 1:1, the faithful that be in Christ Jesus. Now, I think we should search our hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, make me godly. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. Well, here's an area that needs attention, the area of faithfulness. We could not worship a God who is not faithful to us. Can God use us if we're not faithful to him? And these are areas that we need to take to heart. But thankfully, there's grace to be faithful. It's not left to our own strength. It's not left up to ourselves. But God's grace is at work in us. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now the verse prior to that, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, faithful is he that will do it. So God's faithfulness is not just a model, but it is grace that's bestowed. It's power that is given, and it's help that is given to us. It's a bit like a kindergarten teacher who, for weeks perhaps, has been giving a project to the boys and girls. And she provides the material, she tells them what to do, she even sits down in their little chairs and she helps them to do it. And then when the project is all over and they put all these little items on display, they get marked and they get rewarded by the teacher. But all the while, the teacher really has done all the planning and all the guiding and all the helping. And where one child was in trouble, she went to that child's aid and fixed it and got them on track. And there they are now to be present, taken home to mom and dad and to be gloated over. God's grace to us is like that. He tells us what needs to be done. He gives us the talents and the gifts to do it. He comes to our aid to guide us. And when we're in trouble with it, he gives us the strength and the power to overcome. And then he rewards us. He rewards us. That's grace. That's God's grace. Now, this is a wonderful thing. And when you feel like giving up, you go to the Word of God and you claim his promise, you claim his help. Isaiah, for example, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And he promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so the faithfulness of God becomes our strength. It becomes our support. And when we are serving God, we don't do it in our own energy and our own wisdom, but we learn to lean on the Lord. Now we come lastly to the blessings. You see that these men who were faithful in their task, they produced double the number of talents, and there were great rewards. In verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. So there's an earthly reward. There's an immediate reward. Because you've proven yourself to be trustworthy. You've proven yourself to be loyal, and you have done well with those few talents I'm given. I'm going to give you more. That's a principle of life. We do that with our children. We do that with an apprentice when he starts out on a career or some trade. We do that with volunteers. And God does it with us. And if we are found faithful in the little, he will make us then to be rulers over many things. But there are also heavenly rewards. Verse 21, the Lord said, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And really this is the careful care that we make with the gospel. This grace of the gospel, this salvation of the gospel, we want it to do its work in our hearts. We want it to change our lives. We want it to change our hearts. And now that's going to be the criteria of honor. Rewards are given for great works, not for just great works, but for faithfulness. And when we put that to work. Now, what a wonderful encouragement this is, because it encourages the housewife who may be struggling in the home, raising children, caring for the home, caring for her husband, and she may feel, no one ever sees this, this is just drudgery. But in the scale of God's talents and your faithfulness to the station in life God has placed you, every day of faithful labor, God rewards. God sees and God rewards. It's true for the businessman. And in business, you may be struggling to be honest against the competition that might be corrupt and undercutting you. And you may be saying, I'm having a hard, hard go at running a business, trying to do it honestly. But God sees that faithfulness, honoring God and His Word, maintaining a Christian testimony in business at a cost, at a high price. And there will be rewards for that. It's certainly true for the missionary. And he goes off to the mission field, and it's the hardest, hardest place than he could ever have imagined. And he gives the best years of his life to serve in a foreign place, to preach the gospel, and the converts, they may be next to none. And he wonders, what am I doing here? What am I throwing my life into this for so little fruit? But God sees. And it's not the number of talents, it's the faithfulness with what God has given. Think too of our Sunday school teachers. You may say, what are these two or three boys or girls in my class? But every Sunday, every week that you bring a lesson, teach them, guide them, coach them, encourage them, and put up with all their little antics, and you seek to sow that seed of the gospel in their hearts, you might say, who cares? God cares. And He marks the faithfulness, and He sees the effort, the devotion, the love, the faithful service that's put into it. I'm reminded of that Scottish Sunday school where a teacher had just one boy, and the teacher wondered, was it worth it? Turned out to be Robert Moffat, the missionary. And for whatever year she had him in her Sunday school, she had a part in his training, a part in putting the seed of God's word in his heart. And that boy went off to serve God in Africa. To remain faithful in this world, we need to lean on the faithfulness of God. That's our strength. He will not fail, and He will not let us down. Now, God's timetable, we have to trust. These servants were working, and their master was on a journey for a long time. And I'm sure there were days they wondered, what's the point? But they kept at it. And there was a day when the Lord returned, when they were rewarded immediately and eternally. And the guy who put his talent in the ground made no use of the talent, was cast into outer darkness. There is a reward for serving Christ. And I have to remind myself of that. I have to recognize that the days I spend seeking to be faithful to God's word and the ministry of the gospel in this church, the ongoing week in, week out labor of that, God sees it. And there will be a day of reward. I trust there will be the day of growth and increase in the church, a day of God's visitation to multiply the fruit. But there's certainly going to be the day of account, and I will have to give account for my service if I have used the talents, the opportunities, and the ways of ministering God's word. And so that calls us to faithfulness. And you too must remind yourself from time to time that it pays to be faithful. And God will not hold us to X number of converts, but He will hold us to be faithful in every way of serving Him. I hope you have been challenged and blessed through the message on faithfulness today and yesterday. And faithfulness, it's a precious thing in any walk in life. Any employer would tell you, any parent would tell you, any teacher, any military leader, any person who is seeking to guide people, faithfulness is really number one, the characteristic that will make or break a relationship, make or break one who will go through and do well. A girl from a godless home began to attend a Bible class. She was genuinely converted. Her parents ridiculed her and did their best to get her to renounce her faith in Christ. "It is not natural for a young girl like you to be religious," they said. The girl, however, was steadfast. She said, "The change of heart I have had is not natural. It is supernatural. It is altogether from God. Only God could do what he has done in my life. By his grace, I'll never go back to the old life." Time passed. Her father, observing the change which had taken place in her life, said, "I guess it must be real, Mary, because now you get up at 6 o'clock every morning to study the Bible. Before that, you were so lazy, we had trouble getting you out of bed." And yes, that is the kind of thing that happens when a person is converted. Their whole desire for life changes. While we were slovenly and lazy in the flesh, when you are born again and quickened by the Spirit, there is a whole new purpose of life and a zeal that goes along with it. And we praise God that when the Spirit of God comes into the heart of a man, woman, boy or girl, that there is that newness and that desire to be true and to be faithful. And I trust that you will know of that in your own soul, and that the God of heaven will work in you not only a profession of faith, but a possession of faithfulness unto God. May the Lord bless you. And now stay tuned for these closing. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.